let's see, 169, please, and let's stand. 169. Thank you that we can come to your church today to worship you. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems, Lord, but it's still the best place on this earth to live right now. Lord, I pray for our leaders, Lord, that they might turn to you for the answers that they need in guiding our nation. I pray today that our people here, Lord, have come here expecting a blessing from you today, Lord. I pray that as our pastor comes up here and speaks, that you would guide him and direct him, and you give him that power that he needs today, Lord, to preach your word. Thanks for all the folks that came out today, Lord, or some folks we haven't seen in a while that showed up. Thank you for that. Thank you for the good week we've had, Lord, the rains. Just you're there every day of our lives, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that today we can come together and sit amongst each other, shake a hand, give a hug, just say hi, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to spread just a little bit of Christian love here today. Be with us, Lord, as we study with Pastor. Guide and direct. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See, the next one's on the overhead. So I guess we'll have to sing from that. So happy the home when God is there. might be. Is that it?
No, there's more.
There's more? Oh, here we go.
Happy love where prayer is heard and praise is brought to rise. Where there is thought of the sacred word and all its wisdom prize. Lord, let us in our homes agree the blessed peace to gain. Unite our hearts in love to thee, and love to all will reign.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight is our evening service, 6 o'clock. It's a message exploring God's name, God in His name, so don't miss out on that. Personal evangelism this week, the 16th and the 30th at 6 o'clock. We have women's Bible study scheduled for the 23rd. Check with Sandra on the time there. Wilton Bible study is on May 18th at 6. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 20th at 9 in the morning. Happy Mother's Day. Believe it or not, being a mother is a great privilege from God. Services this week are as follows. Wednesday, our prayer and Bible study at 7, Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday, worship service at 10:40, and an evening service at 6. Pastor's thought for the week, Mother's Day and every day. Be thankful with God and your mother. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to come to your house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all those that showed up, got a good crowd here today, Lord. Thank you for that. Thanks for getting through with people, Lord, some of the sicknesses they had to go through and other ailments that they've had. Others traveling, Lord, just ask you to be with them wherever they are. But, Lord, right now we're going to try to give a small portion back to you. Thank you for the opportunity. Please, Lord, be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Kay's going to play for us.
There's a picture in my mind of an old rocking chair and a worn and faded Bible on a stand. And a dear lady sits and finds contentment there, gentle mother with a Bible in her hand. I can still see her sitting with a Bible in her hand, with a smile upon her face that tears could not erase. No matter where I wander, I'll always see her there, just a sitting with a Bible in her hand. By the lamplight every night, with the children round her chair, she used to read about the heavenly land. with a smile upon her face that tears would not erase. No matter where I wander, I'll always see her there, just a sitting with the Bible.
Reminder for mothers and for all of us that having God's Word close at hand is one of the most beneficial things that we can do in our walk with Him. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our morning services here at Fruitland Baptist Church. This is actually a celebration, as you know. We meet here because, historically, the Christians met on the first day of the week to claim victory in Jesus' resurrection. So today, I hope that's the case in your life. It can be if it's not. Jesus is just a call away. He's even available on Sundays. He's available 24/7 at all times, and He loves us very much. And today, I greet you in His name. And on that basis, that we ought to have love here for Him, first of all, and love for one another, second of all. But it's good to see a nice group out this morning. If we have anyone that's visiting here today, we're glad you're with us. And of course, happy Mother's Day. And I trust all the mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be that we might have here today potentially are going to think in that direction today regarding that ministry that God has given to ladies. And it's really a mission that He's given us, and you are very important in God's program. Everyone is important in God's program. And so I trust that you will have a day, and cut her a little slack today, folks. Yeah, don't make her do the dishes at least. I'm just having fun, but we ought to treat our mothers well every day, because they are indeed a gift from God. And that is the title of our message today, God's Gift of Mothers. This is going to be a little bit of an unusual track maybe this morning for a Mother's Day message, not maybe the text, but how it's interpreted today. And hopefully this will be a blessing. But before we go any further, I just want to say once again, I'm glad to see all of you here, and we're going to go and take a little time of prayer. We'll take just a few seconds here for all of us individually to turn our hearts to the Lord. This is a worship activity this morning. Worship means to show God His worthwhileness, His worthiness. And we're going to take a few moments of silent prayer that we can all adjust our hearts today toward the Lord and to the message that He has for us this day. And then I'll follow with a pastoral prayer. Also, in case I would forget, God never does, and He knows everything, but pray for a lady named Linda today that was brought to my attention with some specific needs. God knows those needs, but uphold that person in prayer this morning, and we'll go ahead and get started today. Again, may this be a great day in the Lord's gathering. Our Heavenly Father, we come today before Your throne of grace and mercy, assembled as this local group of believers known as Fruitland Baptist Church. We thank You now, Lord, for every soul that's come through the doors today, and we pray today, Father, that Your Holy Spirit might have an active presence here today at the preaching of the Word. Father, we thank You, and we want to magnify Your name today, and bring glory and honor to You. May this be a time where our hearts are focused on You with praise, glory, and adoration. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your gift to humanity, Lord, as the sacrificial payment, the substitutionary atonement for our sins. We thank You that You saw fit to rescue us through Your Son, and that He was willing and obedient to You, Father, to come and die for our sins and shed His blood to cover them. And rise again, Lord, to new life. We thank You for that new life today. May it be apparent in our lives. May it be apparent in our walks. Today, Lord, we thank You for Your gift of mothers as well. In the establishment of the order of creation, Lord, and how it works. It's a very intricate creation, and it has come from Your mighty hand. And Lord, we know there is a role for everything that You have created. Today we pray for Your institution of motherhood, Lord, for those that are mothers and those that yet potentially may be, that they would look to You as their source of strength and guidance. Lord, for that task, that privilege that you have allowed them to have. Lord, we pray that we would all fulfill our roles according to your word. And Father, that we would be a blessing to you. And Father, that you would continue to persevere with us in your grace and mercy. Now, Lord, we thank you again for many answered prayers throughout this week. And we lift these other things to you, Lord, for those yet to come. And we especially today remember Linda, Lord, a lady that was brought to my attention this morning, that you would be active in her life and come alongside her. Lord, we pray for our congregation today. We understand, as always, there are people that are missing. Lord, there are the common things that go along with this thing called life. Illnesses, sorrow, depression, grief. Lord, maybe there was a fight today in a family. Maybe a husband and wife are at odds, or children and parents. Lord, all kinds of things that enter into the picture. Could be some people are angry, Lord. Maybe some at you. Maybe some at church. Other fellow believers. All kinds of situations, Lord, both within our flock and those outside. Lord, we pray for the community outside of our walls, for Fruitland and all the other areas that people come here from, wherever we have a contact with our neighbor. Help us, Lord, to be in the mode of planting and sowing seeds of the gospel with people around us, with our neighbors, whoever comes into our sphere of influence. Now we thank you, Lord, for your word today. May it be proclaimed properly, and may its power be apparent among us. Now, Lord, you know the weak link in all this is me, and I need your help, as I always do. I'm frail, I'm fragile, I'm not even capable, Lord, but I need the Holy Spirit to take over. But Lord, may this day and the time spent in your word be found pleasing in your sight and profitable for the saints, Lord, and to the hearers. If they would not even be born again, Lord, this is the day that they would call upon the name of the Lord, that you would call them this day. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Cleanse us, renew us, Lord, for the task ahead to be accomplished with joy. And we ask these things now in the most powerful name, that being the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, to all moms here this morning, and the memories of mothers and grandmothers and their part in our life, we want to say what? What's for lunch? Thank you. Thank you. And it is a good day to review those that have gone before us. No question, not everyone is perfect. None of us are, honestly. But, you know, be thankful. And what you're going through today, if you're an active parent, we have several here today that are still working with little ones, and I believe this with all my heart, parenting is never done. But the only good thing, when there's grandchildren, you can send them home sometimes and let others deal with the troubles. But that's not always the case, but it's a privilege, according to what God's Word says, to rear children. And let me tell you, folks, unless something's changed that I don't know about, mothers still have a very vital role in that process. Anyway, thank you, and thank God for the gift of motherhood and mothers. A godly mother fulfills a vital role in God's plan for humanity. When it is short-circuited by Satan, our world suffers. And let me tell you something today, folks, there's been a short circuit. Our world is suffering tremendously. In many cases, our current day culture is a direct result of ungodly mothers and fathers. I'll get a chance with them in a couple of weeks here. What is and will be your legacy before God and man regarding your motherhood? Something to consider. Excuse me. Today's message from God's Word is a good start as we consider God's ways versus humanity's ways. I am thankful for my mom, Charlotte Brown, who, while not perfect, as none of us are, never gave me a bad word of advice and always encouraged me in the right paths toward the Lord, never away from the Lord. And you know what? She fulfilled her duty to the Lord in those areas. And folks, I thank her for it today. As I've said many times, I would not be standing here today, obviously, if it were not for her. God's word tells us of in several places to honor our parents, even if they did not do right. And folks, it's a no-brainer. Yes, even if you were wronged by your parents. And does that happen? Yes. But you need to be thankful to your parents, and specifically your mother, because it's a no-brainer, because it's this simple. If it weren't for your mother, I'm going to have to hit my head on the pulpit, you wouldn't be here. That's pretty basic, right? God used them to get you here, and that's pretty important for all of us, right? So forgive, forget, and rejoice, and honor your mom today in some way or many ways, and give thanks to God for his gift of mothers. Bottom line, let it go. Rejoice, you're here. And you wouldn't be here without your mother. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God was talking in particular here to Israel. He says there's a correlation between long life, between a fulfilled life in me, and the connection to it is your parents, and your mother is one of those. In the New Testament, Galatians 6:2-3 say, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, meaning it's the first priority to put that into practice. Honor your parents, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. A long, fruit-filled life is underscored by God in all times as a priority and something that is a key thing that we ought to do. So if God says do it, we ought to do it. Today, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs with a little bit of flipping around, not a lot. Proverbs chapter 31. And I've preached on this many times on Mother's Day, and it's a classic passage, but we're going to look at it from a different angle this morning. And I believe it'll be beneficial for all of us. It's always beneficial when we're involved in the Word of God, right? Absolutely. But today, what we're going to see recorded here, I believe, are some of the key laments of a guy named Solomon. Solomon was purported to be in the Bible the what? The wisest man that ever lived. But I'm going to add to that, he might have been, well, he was, God says he was, the wisest man that ever lived, but he was pretty, well, I want to use the terminology, dumb. Ignorant. I'll use that as a better term this morning. He didn't do so hot. You know what? You can have all kinds of wisdom, but if you don't have it applied and you don't practice it, you're not going to gain anything from it. And that's called knowledge. Wisdom applied, okay? Well, let me read my notes here, and then I'll get down to the real preaching. But Proverbs 31, we all think, well, this shows what a godly woman should be. Yeah, it does. But it's written as a lament. The pen name in here is a guy named Lemuel. That's Solomon. And what he is writing about, he's writing about his laments of not listening to his mother, who likely may have been a godly woman. Now, I don't want to hit my head on the pulpit again this morning. Well, I guess I haven't yet. Who was Solomon's mom? Bathsheba. Oh, aren't there some questionable things in Scripture about Bathsheba and Solomon's dad, David? Well, don't get in too big a hurry to condemn Bathsheba. I believe she might have been a godly lady. Sure, David saw her out on the rooftop. She might have done a little more discretion on that, but it's not her fault. David took her. David did wrong things with a lady named Bathsheba. But I believe Bathsheba, again, may likely have been a very godly lady, because Solomon tells us she gave some good advice that he didn't listen to. You can read all about this. And, of course, we know what that situation with David was like. And I'm going to give you one of the most famous quotes this morning. You know, usually if I was up here preaching a traditional message, they'd have some little book, Helen Steiner Rice, have a lady pictured in a flower garden, all this and that. Nope, not today. But I'm going to give you a famous quote, and I don't know if it's just unique to me. I'm not plagiarizing, but here's the quote. I wish I would have listened to my mom. Does that ring true with anyone? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's the lament of Solomon. I wish I would have listened to my mom. But let me first say this before we go into this text. Moms, you better have something worthy to listen to. Motherhood is very important. Fatherhood is very important. I don't talk a lot about my farming days, but you know what? Motherhood on the farm. I'm not talking the ladies here, the humans. I'm talking the other ladies. Denny heard about this in men's Bible study a week ago. We kept a little stick of grease paint about this long handy on the farm. Tim, you remember what that was for? Marking out hogs, marking out... On the farm, when it came to motherhood of the animals, it wasn't three strikes and you're out. It was one strike and you're out. A cow births a calf. She won't let the calf nurse. You fight with a cow. You milk the cow. She kicks you. You have all kinds of trouble. You get the grease paint out. One strike, you're headed to the sale barn. Same thing applied to the sows, the ewes, everything else. Now, folks, we don't do that, and God doesn't want us to do that, but this is so important. And the traits are given in Proverbs 31 that will help us to know what a good mother is like, in part. But a mother, by God's ordination, must be a nurturer, grower, a teacher, an example setter. And ladies, tell me, a lover of her children. Now, dads have a lot of responsibilities too, and we'll hammer on them later. But here in Proverbs 31, from this perspective today, are the I wish I would have listened to my mom laments of a guy named Solomon. Six of them this morning. Can you bear with me? It'll be quick. Someone has control of the trap door. If it goes too long, I'll make a quick disappearance. You get what I'm talking. I don't think, Kim told me, people don't get my humor. Craig, do you get my humor? You know what? I have a session for that every Thursday night. Meet me at, no. Here it is, Proverbs 31. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 3, and here's the first point of the six. Here it is. I wish I would have listened to my mom. Bathsheba told him, be careful, the power of women is dangerous. Hey, let's face it, male species, the chicks have some persuasive efforts with them, right? Yeah. And you know what? Bathsheba, though, is going to be talking here from experience in a lot of this. And I know what Bathsheba said to young Solomon. You know, what happened with your dad and I is a good example here. And your dad didn't do everything right. By the way, I've always said there's hope for me because there was hope for David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man connected to God by faith. But David was a sinner. And so were all of us in this room. David did a lot of things wrong. What he did with Bathsheba was totally wrong. I don't want to get graphic here this morning, but you can catch me at a time when I can, and we can talk about that too. And what old Bathsheba here was probably telling Solomon in his younger days is, learn from your dad's mistakes. Don't be a fool. But the question here, folks, this morning, and if you go back to 1 Kings 11:3, we'll find that Solomon didn't learn from his mistakes and didn't learn from what his mother told him. And remember the point here, be careful, the power of women is dangerous, the advice of a mother. 1 Kings 11 and verse 3, let me read this to you this morning as soon as I get back on the right page here. 1 Kings 11:3. And he, that being Solomon, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. My Wilton mathematics says 1,000. That's pert near. That's a precise measurement. More than one lady for every day to be responsible for every 3 years. Is that correct? Roughly. Well, a little less than that. Again, I said it was Wilton mathematics. But notice the last phrase of that verse. And his wives turned away his heart. Solomon didn't listen to his mom. Solomon had a thing for the chicks. And it brought about his destruction. The sad thing of all this, Solomon did accomplish some things for the Lord, but he could have accomplished a lot more if he'd listened to his mom. And that's the case here this morning. If a godly mother, and by the way, you mentioned I mentioned the marking out of the no good mothers, but let me just say this. If that criteria fits anyone in this room today, God can fix it. God's in the business of fixing broken things and broken people, if people will allow it to happen. But Solomon wasn't thinking that way. But his life turned into a quest for perfection that ended in disaster. But before it was too late, I believe he was a man of faith. He was a saved man, but he went through the depths because he was in school. He didn't listen to his mom, but God had to teach him the hard way. His wives turned away his heart from God. That's what's implied there. By the way, who better to advise a son than a mom on the subject of women? I didn't like that look, Kim. But along with that, who better to advise a daughter than her father on men? Be careful of the power of a woman, because it can be dangerous. I wish I would have listened to my mom. Second point today. Oh, I didn't read that, did I? You got to go there. The words of Lemuel, verses 1 through 3, Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, that's Solomon. By the way, that means one who belongs to God. The prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not strength unto women, nor thy ways, to that which destroyeth kings. I wish I'd have listened to you, Mom. It was a mess for Solomon in all the things he went through. Second point today, found in verses 4 through 7. Let's just read them first so I don't forget. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. These are kind of tough to understand in the King James Version, but I want to just help us to think about this a little bit. But here's the second point that Bathsheba tried to get across to Solomon. And it is this: mind-altering substances are dangerous for your spiritual and physical walk. Mind-altering substances are dangerous for your spiritual and physical walk. Go to Ecclesiastes 2, verses 3 through 9. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2, and actually we'll focus on verse 3. Ecclesiastes 2. Here's the words once again of Solomon as he's reviewing again through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit his life. And you can read on your own through 9, but I'm going to just park here on 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto... Mom says, don't do it. He says, I'm going to do it. And he made it a priority in his life, it says here, to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly. In other words, he says, I want to experience this. I don't want to listen to mom's experience and what can happen, her good wisdom there. I'm going to do it myself. And to lay hold on all folly. Solomon's goals were like a lot of people's goals are today. They want to do nothing but stupid things. Foolish things that are not even something that is important or good for them to do. It's the desire. I see it all over in our culture. It's cool to be a fool. Till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Solomon says, I'm going to give it everything it's got. And he got involved with the drink and the strong drink, folks. Mind-altering substances. If you read down through this, though, and see the ending of that, it did not turn out well in his life. He should have listened to mom, because what it amounts to is what his mother told him there in verse 7, I believe. Now I've lost my Proverbs 31. I got to go back. I should keep my hand in there. She told him, basically, in verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. In other words, that people get involved in this type of a lifestyle so far that they're gone and headed for destruction. In other words, the addiction things that involve this type of thing bring people to destruction. And she tried to warn her son about that. It's going to affect not only your spiritual walk, but it's going to affect your physical walk. And so she said addictions to these things, these type of substances, are of people that are far gone. Sometimes it can't be turned around, and they'll be headed for destruction. Solomon experimented with these things to his regrets. I wish I would have listened to my mom. What a lot of heartache Solomon experienced in his life. The third thing we find today is found in verses 8 and 9 of Proverbs 31. And here again, his mother gave him some good advice. I think Solomon did pretty well in this from the readings that I've seen of his life. But it was, again, some good advice that his mother gave him. And it is this: open thy mouth for the dumb, it says in the King James Version, or those that are unable to speak, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. In other words, she told him, tell people the right things, Solomon. Help people that are headed for the wrong things to understand to do the right things. Stand up for people. Open your mouth, it says in verse 9. Judge righteously and please plead the cause of the poor and needy. Bathsheba told Solomon, do the right things for people that cannot help themselves. Was that good advice? That was wonderful advice from Bathsheba. Did Solomon accomplish that all the time? No, because he made a lot of mistakes. By the way, what brought down Israel and divided the kingdom was what started with Solomon when he began to spend money hand over fist. And you know the ornateness of the temple, the ornateness of Solomon's lifestyle bankrupted the nation. He did not stand up in totality as he could have for those that were unable to help themselves. He took advantage of them, even though he did many things that were right. But you know what? When it all came down, and if he were able to see what happened after him and how the kingdom was divided and how Israel went downhill further and further, eventually to its demise temporarily till God restores it again in its fullness. Yes, it's restored as a national entity now with boundaries, but not in the extent and purpose yet that God has for it. I believe Solomon would have had deep regrets that he didn't listen to his mother. So the point there, number three point, stand up and do right for those who cannot do it themselves. Solomon stood up and did too many things for himself rather than others and the Lord. The fourth point this morning, and this is a long one, and this is found in verses 10 through 29. But here's the message that Bathsheba communicated from what we find in this. She would have told Solomon, "Virtuous women are a rare commodity indeed." I don't think anything's changed at all. Let me just say this. You get the wrong gal, you're going to have nothing but trouble. You don't do it God's way, you're going to have nothing but misery and despair. Like I mentioned earlier, you don't get the right woman, you won't have the right mother. Think about the markers. Virtuous women are a rare commodity indeed. Fortunately, though, Bathsheba told him what to look for, because right here Solomon tells us what she told him. And we're going to review a little of that. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't, and he never found one. So let's go over this briefly. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It's very hard to find one. But ladies, here this morning, studying this, strive to be a worthwhile woman and mother, virtuous. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. In other words, a godly mother, a godly woman, will be one that enhances her husband's walk, not detracts from it. Walk with God, that's what it is. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A mother should be a spiritual person. Women should be spiritual persons. Men should be spiritual persons. But men, when you're looking for a woman, find the right one. And don't be afraid to pay a heavy price, because they're worth it. By the way, we'll get into this a little later. His mother is going to tell him later, don't look at the outside beauty. But this is what I always told my boys. And I don't know what Kim told our daughters. I said, find a virtuous woman, but it doesn't hurt to get one that looks good too. Verse 13, she sits at a spinning wheel, working with wool and flax, working willingly with her hands. The point of all this is, find a woman who is industrious, who is excited to do things, who is going to be an achiever in the right ways. Industriousness, a worker. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household, meat, and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. I'm going to brag on Kim just a little this morning, and I don't do a lot of bragging. But I've told Kim I trust her with everything. If she needs to do something, do it. But if she's going to buy a farm, please talk with me first. Everything below that, I trust you, Kim. I'm not asking if she trusts me. By the way, we've been having some fun planting the field down the road here. And so, you know, not many ladies at Kim's point in life would be out there supervising. But the fact of the matter is, ladies, this is what's really attractive to men. It's that you have deep down spiritual and physical qualities that mirror these things that Bathsheba told Solomon to look for. But the, well, he wasn't big probably. I think he was of medium stature. David was small even. But the big oaf, he didn't do that, did he? He did not listen to his mom. She girdeth her loins, verse 17, with strength, and strength in her arms. We're going down through 29, just perusing this. She receiveth, or she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands to the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a lady that has a compassionate heart toward people, not one that says or practices, gimme, gimme, gimme. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's a lady that has foresight and has the intuity, again, to care for her family. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. I think girdles are out of style today. But it's a little different meaning back in those days. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In other words, when you see this lady come, Solomon, you will know someone that fits that bill. But you better be prepared to what? To wait and be selective. And I'll add to this, to pray to God that He'll direct you to the right one. But notice here, strength and honor are in her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth in her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wisdom and kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. That's the hardest thing for children to do, to recognize a mom or a dad that have not been a blessing to them. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. By the way, don't choose a woman. Don't be a mother that is not worthy of praise. That's a very simple litmus test for what you are doing. Again, praised of God and praised of people. Well, virtuous women are a rare commodity indeed. Bathsheba told him what to look for. He didn't and never found one. You can read about what he did find for women. And everyone without fail did what? Did him dirty. It's all in the book. It's all for us to learn from. Last two verses. And you can look through these. Again, I'm not the judge. I'm not judging women today. But women and mothers need to judge themselves. And men need to take account of themselves as well and what God says. And Solomon would have been a lot better if he'd listened to his mother. Last two points. Number five. When a mother says something once, sometimes it's better if she says it twice. Now, I know in my situation with my mother, she didn't speak a lot on the third time around. There were actions. And my mom was a godly mother. And I'm not here to critique her today. I will say this, though. In a little bit of a critique, my mom was a very godly lady. I've shared with you her salvation testimony and the things that she went through in her life. But the only thing I would say today is that I wish she'd have stood up more about things in the spiritual realm. And what I mean by that is when wrong teachings came in to be out at Peace Church, I wish she would have said no. But as you get older, and you want to remember this, as we get older, we get a little weaker in our thinking about things. And what comes into play is, I don't want to hurt my family. I want to. Of course, Kim and I have been gone from out there for 44 years, but do the right things. And mothers, you have a lot of influence, godly mothers. Do the right things. Anyway, here it is, point five. She tells him again, find a godly woman. Here it is, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Did you notice that there? Just because she has attractive qualities that you find enticing, they can oftentimes be what? Deceitful. And beauty is a waste of time. By the way, ladies, I don't have stock in any makeup companies. Cosmio is the word in the Greek for that, cosmetics. But you know what? You better be looking at beauty that goes a lot deeper than what you find with all the stuff that we put on. She told him, she said, artificial beauty is vain. You better be looking for the beautiful person that's under that. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Solomon, find and pursue godly women. He didn't. Last point. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Two parts here. By the way, I believe this. You can call me old-fashioned, but men, you ought to respect women. They're God's creation. His ordination. And I believe they have a privileged place in His program. And men, you don't treat them. You don't treat them badly. You don't use them. You put them in a high position. I don't care what the world says today. Women deserve to be placed in a high position. Many of them don't receive what they deserve because they don't want it. But you do that for them. And that's what his mother told him here. He said, you respect and you praise her qualities. Now let's face it, folks, what goes on in a lot of homes and in a lot of relationships is they get started on the wrong foot and then starts the criticism. I'm looking at the beautiful one here this morning. I give her a lot of credit. And I love her more every day. And I'm thankful that for the children that God gave me through Kim. Respect and praise her qualities. And here's the thing that his mother told him, because others will see this, but you should be number one when it comes to recognizing what God has given you. Recognizing her qualities, you should be the first one as a husband to acknowledge that. His mother told him. It's not recorded in Scripture per se, but I think Solomon wished he would have listened to his mother Bathsheba. Well, there were at least six keys that I gave you this morning just from Proverbs 31. I wish I would have listened to my mom. Moments from Solomon. Maybe for some today, these thoughts hit home and may be hard. For others, even moms, have you been a godly mom or dad and steered your children? Have you been a godly mom or dad, or have you steered your children away from God towards destruction? It's happening all around us. It could be that someone here today is in that mode. And they know it, and they're being caused to think about that today. Because I believe that's the case. I don't live in an isolation. I know that in many cases, mothers and grandmothers steer their children toward the wrong things. But no matter what, many errors can start to be corrected today. They can be corrected today in our family structures. If is a conditional word. If what? You tell me. We will do it God's way. And you know what? The biggest instruction that a mother, a grandmother, et cetera, or a father can do is to go to their children when they realize the wickedness and the wrong things and the ways they've operated and go and tell them and say, would you forgive me? I want to see this set straight in your life today. You know what? God will honor that. But He will not honor the life of destruction that's given by example. He will help us today if we'll let Him. That's the key. No question about it, it's a mess out there. But I leave you today with hope. It can be fixed. Have a good Mother's Day. I'm done yapping. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Well, it's in our cover this morning. Spirit of the Living God. It's D is the song. Let's stand if you're able. You know, God's at work, and every one of us will leave this building today in one mode or the other. We're either going to leave in God's favor or we're going to leave knowing that God's not in favor. But as I said, don't ever be embarrassed to get something set straight with the Lord. Don't ever be embarrassed to do it here. I'm embarrassed all the time to be up here. I'm not, but I'm here because I need to be. And you know what? If there's someone here today, this is the first step. If you'll come clean with God, the rest of it will be easy. Because He'll be behind it. And it'll get exciting, and it'll be more than any Mother's Day meal or anything else or whatever you're going to get today, is to get back in touch or to remain in touch with your children as a vessel, as a conduit, as He intended of a mother to be from Him to your children. So today is another day where we're going to make a decision to go on, head out the door, back to the normal routine, or maybe today, maybe someone will step out and say, you know what, Jesus, I need your help because I'm going to see you fix the troubles that I face. He's going to be there and He'll be compassionate. Let me tell you this too, if you need Jesus today as your Savior, by the way, we all do. We're desperate, folks. We may not realize it today, but we are desperate people. Because we are one heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. And Jesus loves you today, and He's ready today to come into your life. He's willing to forgive your sins, to wipe the slate clean and say, I love you. I'm going to make you a new creature. Maybe someone today needs to be a new creature in Christ. And maybe lastly today, someone here says, you know what? I just need to come clean with God, not about my motherhood or my fatherhood, but about me. And I need to get back with you, Lord. And He'll restore you to that today as well. He'll cleanse your heart. Front of this church ought to be full every Sunday. But that's between everyone and the Lord. But I want you to know He's there for you today. Let's sing this today. I'll greet you at the doors. We're dismissed. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Is this your prayer today? Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. The Lord's open today on Mother's Day. Make it a good one today. Make it a day of renewal and refreshment. Let your mom know, if you're still able, how much you are thankful for what she has done. I'm going to ask Lonnie to close today in prayer. Have a great afternoon in the Lord.